Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Before I talk to this guest, I'm actually nibbling on some chocolate, which I probably shouldn't be doing. Hypocritical of me. My guest tonight says that knowledge is the new medicine. Having been diagnosed with late onset of type 2 diabetes, Ed O'Reilly took his health into his own hands to reverse his own disease. Ed now helps others to use food as a tool to be healthy instead of a disease promoter. Ed, thank you very much indeed for joining us. And I know I've spoken to you, I think, in the past.
Yeah.
Ed, firstly, when were you diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, by the way?
Well, it's a very long story, and that's not the start of it.
Okay.
So, but what I had was I suffered with post-viral fatigue syndrome for 9 years.
Okay.
And the complications of it and the lack of knowledge let me roll down a hill that maybe I shouldn't have rolled down. So it's a wee bit like if I knew then what I know now, I believe that my life may have been a little bit better. My lifestyle could have been adjusted. And I certainly believe that knowledge is the new thing. And
oh, I agree.
If people knew what they were doing, I actually don't think they'd be doing it. Now,
well, here's the thing, Ed. I would disagree with you in a sense that we know a lot of the stuff we eat is not good for us, but we still do it because we like the little pleasures and the serotonins it releases, and we still stupidly do it. Like, we know, like for me, for example, I know not Red Bull, drinking Red Bull is not good for me, and I've talked to you about that before, but I still drink it. You know, I know that eating chocolate is probably not really good for me, but I still do it. You know, so I still do those things, even though they're not good for me.
Yeah, but there will come a time when you will regret that.
Oh, I have no doubt. You're completely 100% right. I have no doubt.
Well, it's not that it's not about me being right. It's about how did we get here? Like, why is 60% of the population overweight?
Because we're putting the wrong food in our mouth.
Right. So, and where did that come from?
Well, I think marketing, manufacturers, I mean, you've seen what Robert Kennedy Jr. is doing at the moment, which is probably a good choice, by the way. You know, and he wants to take all of these toxins, preservatives, all of these E-numbers out of American food. Now, we have tighter regulations in Europe, but still not tight enough.
Yeah, but even, you know, if you get back to the basics, where when you and I grew up, we had 3 meals a day, that was it.
Yeah.
We didn't get anything else.
No.
Fat was good. Butter was prevalent. And then we got into this idea that fat is bad and that we should be eating 5 or 6 times a day. And we are now dealing with the consequences of that. And the problem is, Niall, that we have a healthcare system which, if we continue going...
It's going to collapse.
...as we're doing,
yeah.
Well, we're not going to be able to afford it. No, and
are you talking about the going back in time? Your mam based what she cooked on the old pyramid. Do you remember the old pyramid? You know, you had your proteins and your veg and your, you know, whatever it was. So there was that kind of old pyramid. That pyramid didn't include Coca-Cola and bars of chocolate, and certainly didn't include Red Bull and everything else that goes along with it. So what your mother cooked were the basics, because we didn't have, you know, pizzas in the shops. We didn't have lasagnas. I'm not saying lasagna is bad for you, by the way, but we didn't have all of those things, all those choices in the supermarkets. We had basic stuff.
True, obviously, and the array of foods is absolutely unbelievable.
Mind blowing, it is
so toxic beyond belief. But I think the weight issue, and we've always talked about it being a calorie, will really... And you mentioned them there, the fat and the protein and the carbs. Only two of them are essential, and that's the protein and the fats. The carbs are not essential.
So explain this to me, because people listening are going, we've always been told fat is bad. So explain to me why you think fat is good.
Well, fat gives you a sense of, oh, I'm only after having a nice big meal. I don't need to eat more. And the idea that fat doesn't need to use insulin, and I'm telling you that insulin, the hormone insulin, is definitely part of the problem, if not the problem, because insulin is a fat-storing hormone. And if you're always eating carbs and sugars, well, then you're always putting on weight. You're always storing it.
Now, I know that there might be doctors listening to disagree with you in relation to insulin. That's their, obviously, professional decision to disagree with you, but you obviously have done your own research.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, but then where did all this insulin resistance come from?
So where did it come from?
Well, it came from eating too many carbs. So where did all the alcoholism come from? Well, it came from the alcohol. Well, where did all the insulin resistance come from? Obviously, there are other causes of insulin resistance, but 95% of it is caused by an excessive amount of carb, which then consequently tells your body to raise your insulin production. In fact, there's a doctor in the UK, and I remember coming across this guy, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, and his name is Dr. Unwin, U-N-W-I-N. And what he decided to do was he decided to compare the amounts of teaspoonfuls of sugar you would need that if you say at, I don't know, Cocoa Pops, I remember our fellow was had a liking for them, and a 30-gram portion of Cocoa Pops, whatever size that is, I don't know, was the equivalent to 7 teaspoonfuls of sugar. Whereas the cornflakes were, I remember these two, were nearly 8.5 teaspoonfuls of sugar. If you put the bread on top of that and maybe sugar in the tea on top of that or orange juice on top of that, we're sending people out in the morning with so much sugar in them that your body has to do something with it. And the only way to do that is to raise your insulin levels.
But here's my problem, Ed, right? If I don't have sugar, and this is just something I personally notice, so I use a lot of sugar, but if I don't have it, I get these things. It's like a sugar drop.
Yeah, but Niall, see, this is actually a very interesting question or statement you're making, because what you're actually using sugar there as is you're not actually using it as food. You're actually using it as drug.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but so how do I avoid? Food. How do I avoid if I want to stop the sugar intake? You know, get rid of the Red Bull, get rid of the 4 spoonfuls in my tea. Get rid of the dose that I put on top of me cornflakes. It'll be porridge in the morning. How do I stop doing that without getting the sugar drop?
Well, first and foremost, you could cut it down. You could turn around and say, well, I'm not doing it. Because I used to have 3 teaspoonfuls of sugar in my tea. Mm-hmm. So I know what it's like. I used to be 3.5 stone heavier. I used to hear the food noise. The bread used to speak to me. It used to say, eat me. People laugh at me when I say that, but I'm only telling you the truth. The food noise is unbelievable. How do you do it? Well, what you've got to do is you've got to start lowering it down, because you will go through withdrawals. There is no two ways about it, because they've done studies in mice and rats, and they've done cocaine and sugar. They prefer the sugar. But when you withdraw it, they go through the withdrawals.
So in other words, giving up sugar is just as difficult as giving up smoking or cocaine or anything else or alcohol.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And anybody that I have people that came to me, a person that came to me who lost 4 stone in weight, and it's not that I'm losing the weight, but I believe that if we brought home economics back into our classrooms and started to educate the next generation on how to cook properly, because I actually think that wellness is time. And why I say that is, do you have time to cook for yourself? Do you have time to rest? Do you have time to make the right decisions? But if you don't have time, well then, you may not have problems today, because you could turn around and say to me, well, actually, Ed, I drink X, Y, and Z, and I have no issues. Well, that is great, but those issues are just not presenting themselves at the moment. But and my father had loved sugar, but he was a breakfast, lunch, and tea. That was it.
Is it important that we have three meals? You know, a lot of people skip breakfast, straight into lunch, straight into dinner, and that's it.
Well, Niall, breakfast is not the most important meal of the day, not a hope. That little term was invented by somebody working for Kellogg's. They make breakfast cereals.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Are breakfast cereals any harm? The likes of cornflakes, Rice Krispies, all those things. You know, I mean, allegedly, I don't know, you know better than I do, they give us a bit of roughage, which is good for our movements. Is that not true?
Absolutely. But you can get that roughage from other places. Like, let's get that roughage from nature. What you're talking about there is fiber that feeds your gut microbiome. Absolutely. But if you think I'm going to rely on something made by, as we call them, nasties and kill all, that's the name we give them to those two breakfast cereal companies, there's no in the wide world I would...
So what do you eat? What does Ed have for breakfast?
Well, in the morning, I invariably would have a couple of poached eggs. I might have some sardines with it. I always add a little taste of garlic to it. I have that at about 7:30 in the morning, and then I don't eat till about 2:00 then.
See, I hate eggs hate sardines, but go on.
Well, you know, like eggs, come on, they're multivitamin in a shell. They're so good for you. And then I'm a big kefir person, but that's just an add-on thing.
Okay.
You know, where you get probiotics.
And would you have lunch and dinner? Or would you just go to dinner?
Depending on the day, but invariably I would be I'm a cheese person, loads of vitamin K2. I might have an apple with that. I love it. And then in the evening, I would have my protein and I'm a big salad or big vegetable person.
Okay, so steak, potatoes, peas. Okay, is that good?
Well, steak, I'd be broccoli, cauliflower, kale. I might have some cabbage. I might do some other fibrous material. And then I might have blueberries and a wee taste of cream or some rhubarb.
Do you know what? I'm feeling fierce guilty here, but can I just point out, listening to you, I know you're right. This is all really healthy food, and I feel really guilty because that's not what I do and I should be doing.
But Niall, the problem is you haven't got to a state or a place in life where
you... It's a taste, Ed. I don't know what it is. I have funny taste buds, you know? I remember my mom gave us... great dinners, just like you talked about, you know, kale and cabbage and, you know, all that kind of stuff. My dad used to drink the cabbage water straight out of a glass, for God's sake, right? So, but here's the thing. I used to have to be forced to eat it because I used to gag when I was eating cabbage. You know what I mean?
I hate the texture of it. The cabbage at the wrong time, at the wrong age.
Yeah.
Like, Niall, we have problems. If 60% of the people are overweight or obese, 60%, you go back to the 70s, what was it? I don't know, but I'll tell you.
It wasn't 60%, that's for sure.
well, the obese or overweight individual, and the problem is that they think that they can do this by exercise. You cannot exercise off a bad diet. You've got to lower the hormones that cause the fat storing. And on doing that, particularly if you go low carb, within 3 weeks, you will see a massive difference. Just to give you an example, somebody lost 4 stone, was able to get off a sleep apnea machine, gets his brain back, is able to communicate better, and sees that food is actually a tool for health.
Do me a favour, Ed. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. Unfortunately, the interview was too short. I'd like you to come back on again and finish this conversation, because unfortunately we've run out of time. We've come to the top of the hour. So if you would be happy to come on again, I would love to come on and have you come on and talk a little bit more about it, because I think people are finding it extremely interesting, judging by the text we're getting in.
No problem. You do it anytime.
All right. I'll get AJ's contact you and we'll finish this conversation and we'll get more into what we should be eating, I suppose, rather than what we shouldn't be eating. And Ed, by the way, he's a wonderful guy. I've spoken to him in the past on the air. Now, obviously, Ed has his views on what you should and shouldn't do, and other people might have their own views, and other professionals might have their views. But in saying that, there's nothing he said tonight didn't make sense. And we all know that. We all know we're eating the wrong food by times. Anyway, thank you very much indeed to everybody who got involved in the show tonight. We shall talk to you again tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Enda Murphy's on the way.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.